flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing High Hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, High Hopes, High Hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Yo. Another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller Time Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. On point. What up, pal?
Excited to be here. It's the thing that people are most excited about this week is a mailbag.
That's right.
High Hopes edition.
It's the number one thing going on in Philadelphia sports this week, so welcome. The biggest news that we'll have in Philadelphia sports this week is Jack answering the like 500 prospect questions we got. Does he not talk about prospects enough on this podcast?
Well, I get bullied out of talking about them, so I feel like I had to bring it back.
Yeah. You would think AMA, it's like you could ask about our lives, about how we know each other, about, you know, anything, Zoe or Walker or Sutton. There's so many things, our favorite movies, our favorite music. It's like, no, Jack, tell me about some guy in like some league I never heard of, please.
Yeah. That will likely
really nailed this brand.
Will likely never make that big of an impact in the but they could.
The most he'll ever get talked about in Philadelphia, some of these people, is right here.
Well, it's the fleeting moment. Fleeting moment might not be the right term. Bear with me here, but
you got baby brain, buddy.
Well, I'm doing pretty well.
Everything is out. It is.
No, definitely not doing that. But it's just. It's that moment where they do have a moment that everyone remembers. You know what I mean? Like that's when the memories of the pod really just kind of break through. It's like it's like when Pivetta threw the complete game.
It's exactly like that.
It's part of what makes it. So I think we have found the right kind of sickos for us.
Oh my God. Yes. We have definitely whittled it down. Yeah.
And like, we're the leaders, I guess.
Do we want to be?
Yeah, I guess that's the right way to put it.
Is that something you want to aspire to be?
Sure.
The leaders of the sicko movement?
Yeah. Well, because listen, they came to the right place. I don't know what to tell you.
Guess what? You're going to get answers on your questions.
So I was up at 11:30 last night watching all of these guys. Just to make sure I was in the right frame of mind heading into this podcast today of who these guys are.
I went to bed 5 hours before that, so, you know, no big deal.
Yeah,
we're living the same life, buddy.
Well, because the difference is, before the kiddos, this is what I would do.
Pre-kiddos.
Pre-kiddos. Is
the before time.
Yeah, like I would be looking at everything.
My God, dude. Emily and I used to, we'd be like, oh, what do you want to do today? Oh, let's just watch all the Lord of the Ring movies, because we can, because we don't have a child.
Yeah,
that stuff doesn't happen anymore, let me tell you.
No, well, Jill was saying the other day that she can't wait for Walker to watch Lord of the Rings for the first
time. Oh, it's gonna be awesome. Yeah. Definitely excited.
But he's definitely not reading the books because he's not a dork, but he we will watch the movies and we will do fake sword fights.
Can't wait. You know, although again, I'd see more as a bowman, more of an elvish kind of guy.
Well, I was an Aragorn guy. Naturally.
I mean, what a hot take. I love the king. Great job, king. Good job.
But yeah, I was also a Legolas man.
I mean, how could you not be a Legolas man?
Oh, when he slid down.
He slid down the freaking shield and two towers is the coolest moment in any of the movies.
Of all the things, I know we're doing maybe a self-AMA right now. which is definitely a good idea for the podcast.
Yeah, sure.
Is my love of Lord of the Rings the most surprising thing that you've ever learned about me?
Far, like, I don't even know what number two is. Like, I thought I had you pegged. I thought I understood Jack Fritz, and then it turned out that you're a Lord of the Rings guy, and I was like, flummoxed.
Yeah.
Flabbergast.
Justin in Tennessee, also very surprised.
It's shocking. Yeah. I love it. Props. Good job by you.
Thank
they're
you.
Great.
They're the best.
You know?
They're the, it's the one...
It's the one of that.
It's the one like fan, like I watched the first couple of Harry Potters, but they got too scary for me.
Yeah.
And then
are you serious?
They did. Yeah.
Zoe, Harry Potter 5 was Zoe right now, just so you know.
It got a little too scary.
You've seen Voldemort, just like
yeah, no.
All good? No, okay.
No, I was out. I don't do scary movies very well.
I love scary movies.
I'm a positive, happy guy.
Well, I know
but and Harry Potter's not meant to be scary, I get that.
No, it's written for children.
But
should read the books.
But I did read I read the first couple of ones.
Yeah. You read a book a year. So it's
well, no, I make it through 3/4 of a book.
That's
a
what
year.
It is. Excuse yeah. me. You almost read a book.
Yeah. Right? But no one's allowed to do that with my book.
No. Oh, yeah. Oh.
No one's allowed to do that.
Yeah. The irony of you writing a book
yeah.
is about as ironic thing as there is. I love it.
I feel like I could probably talk about it now. Right? I could probably talk about it.
I think you just did.
All right. So
Jack's writing a book.
Wrote a book.
Wrote a book.
Co-authored a Phillies book.
Yeah, whoever the co-author is probably doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Disagree. Not that he's not doing heavy lifting, but I know that the amount that I put into this book.
Yeah, well, all I know is I got a lot of texts from you as you were clearly researching or writing the book, being like, did you know this?
Did you like them?
Did you know this?
Did you like them at 5:30 in the morning?
Oh, it's great. Well, honestly, I loved it. It's one of the few people communicating with me at 5 in the morning. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's called Ring the Bell, and it's with...
original name.
Eh? Thank you. I was going to name it High Hopes. No, just kidding. But but yeah, so me and Kevin Reavy, who we went to Cooperstown with.
Kevin.
And yeah, so it's supposed to be like a fun... encyclopedia-ish kind of look at Philly's history, but through the eyes of a sicko. So I really the way that I wrote my Kevin's a better writer than me. He's like, you know, he's so whimsical, you know, and like can use the alliterations and all that nonsense. I'm strictly emotions at all times. So like the whole Diamondback series is just this sucked.
Great.
The goal is to bring you down,
uh-huh.
but also bring you right back to where you were. Yeah. And also I want people reading it thinking this guy's kind of insane.
Are you going to read your own book is the question.
I didn't even, I went to the extent where I didn't reread what I wrote. So I just submitted it.
You just said, edit this for me, please.
You figure it out.
Yeah, great. It'll be fantastic. Jack's going to read it and be like, I didn't write any of this.
Well, again, I was...
sounds nothing like
I was probably a little loopy.
Thank you for fixing this.
I was probably a little loopy. It was early in the morning. Yeah. It was every day for 3 months.
It sounds
so.
I went to grad school. I'm done with writing. I wrote far too much.
I thought I was done, too. Yeah. I thought I was done, too. And then it's like, do you want to write Philly's book?
I didn't even like writing a tweet. It's too much writing.
Yeah, you literally just copied and pasted my tweet.
I changed it a little bit. I changed like 3 words.
Look at and okay. sue you.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. That's it. Try and help us get more questions. Sue me.
Did you need more questions about the NRI guys?
I wanted less about the NRI. I was like, can we get some questions on other stuff? And thankfully, I got some book questions.
Well, dude, I mean, every question for you was, hey, James, what's your favorite color?
Yeah, it's part of an AMA. Yeah, that's exactly people want to know. That's the whole point. Instead, they're like, Jack, tell us more about prospects.
Tell me more about
it. I didn't know enough about person no one else has ever heard of. Can you tell me about it and force listeners to listen?
No, my favorite, and I can't wait to get into it. I can't wait to get into the pitchers, the NRI pitchers.
Let's get into it. Let's roll here. All right. Should I read them? Should Tucker read them? How should we do this? I'll read them.
Yeah, you read them. this guy's got no mic presence. All right, are you kidding me?
All right. This first question is from Mike from Westchester.
Yeah, so I coached.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Look when he was 13.
How old is he now?
It has to be, that was in the summer of 15.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So he's almost
an adult now.
He's almost an adult.
All right, good. Hello, Mike. Let us know. Your next job is to tweet or email in and let us know how Jack was as a coach. Cause very,
well, I got thrown out of one game.
Jack's a get on him coach. You know, like you freaking stink. Get put your head out of your
kids?
Ass. Bobby Knight style.
The kids. Yeah. No.
16 at the time. 15.
Well, they were 13 at the time.
Yeah.
My I got two coaching stories.
They're in puberty. That's like you're becoming an adult. Come on.
I got two coaching stories.
Uh-huh.
One, I got thrown out of one game. And I was right. Okay. It was something with the umpire. And
you got into it? You fought with the umpire?
I got thrown out from the dugout.
Oh, wow.
Which was annoying. You know, I didn't even get to go out and plead my case.
Yeah.
And the other was, I was proud of this moment. The other coaches were not. But I, Jackie, old school. So the team was beating us like 10-0 or whatever, and a kid stole. And I told our best pitcher
to throw at him,
to go throw at the kid.
Good, you should.
And the coaches were like, do not do that. And I said, every one of you guys got cut from JV. Like, this is, like, don't tell us ball players how to play.
That's good.
All right.
Telling 13-year-olds to beat each other is strong work. Honestly, it might be the greatest.
There's nothing in baseball that I hate more than a steal up a lot of runs.
Honestly, you could argue the person should be shot on the field when they do it. I mean, you could discuss it.
Sure.
You could get I'm not saying killed. Shoot him in the leg.
Do you think
something like that?
Do you think that's the next step of banana ball? The Savannah Bananas. That's the next.
There should be a sniper at the top of the stadium.
You steal up 10.
And if you go, they like take your ankle out. Mm-hmm. Or something. I like that.
All right.
Not kill him.
No.
Mike,
high stakes baseball.
You're right. Imagine how intense that would be. Is it going to get him? Is it going to miss? It'd be better. You get like a normal person to shoot, so it's like actually a game.
Well, I don't know if I want that. I think I would actually rather have the SEAL, Marine.
Well, please, I don't want to. Like, could he steal against the gun? Like, then it becomes interesting. Could he outrace the gun?
Sounds like you've had this, I'd say, fantasy, but
right. Sounds entertaining. You know. I read a lot of dystopian stuff. So that's
good. You can get to your little book club in
I
a second.
Can't wait. Here. Let's get through these dumb prospect questions. All right. Shout out to Mike. Mike, like you, he says, I am a huge prospect guy just like you. So there are others. Good to know. I consider many of these prospects like family. Taking a little far, Mike.
Yep. So do I.
Who is an unknown prospect right now in the Phillies farm system that you see potentially flying up the ranks this upcoming year? Any sleepers you're really high on? Love the pod, fellas. Thank you, Mike. There is an inherent flaw in this question.
Okay.
What prospects have people not heard of on the show? Because you talk about all of them. You talked about like the top 40 draft picks, but go ahead.
Well,
see if you can find something to do here that has not been talked about by you.
That's why I'm here. So I'm not totally sure how to say the first name, but Ilario Farabas.
Ilario.
Ilario?
It's either Ilario or Ilario. Ilario
Farabas. Either way, it's Farabas, I believe.
Tucker, get on.
Anyway. this kid hit like he just came over, I think, last year, and he's hit over 350 in every little thing. And then in the DSL, I believe he had an OPS over 1100. So he's a catching prospect. And the interesting part about this is that as your eyes glaze over,
I'm already looking at it.
Is that so? In my opinion. Farabas is like, he needs to get stronger. And as he gets stronger, he's a good bat to ball catcher, but he'll get stronger. Maybe he has a better chance to stick behind the plate. Like Tait, who I cannot wait for, I find so interesting because one, I'm not sure he can stick behind the plate.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because obviously the dude can rake.
It's an odd comparison because they're not the same kind of player. But to me, he's Schwarber.
Behind the plate?
No.
Well, Schwarber was
behind the plate.
Yeah,
is,
of course. Yeah. Is the original plot spot.
At the plate, I think Tait is Schwarber just without the unbelievable plate discipline. His swing is just like Schwarber's.
Okay. You need to learn some of that discipline. But look, you can get by. I mean, like Cal Raleigh's like that. Like, he's a really good catcher for the Mariners. All he does is hit home runs. He hits like 200, but the guy hit 35 homers or 30 homers or whatever, and he steals some base here and there. But like, you can, that's a valuable player to have if he can catch.
Yeah. And he's super young. So Tait and Farabas are the two guys. And then everyone knows about Griffin Burkholder, but I love Griffin Burkholder.
Oh, we know about Griff.
Yeah, the next Trout. But he's going to be awesome. I think if there's one guy that finishes top five this time next year, it'll be Griffin Burkholder.
Okay.
And then, all right, never mind.
No,
there's more.
Going,
no, it's
going.
Fine.
No, keep going.
Griffin Burkholder.
We're going to give Mike and Westchester his due.
Griffin Burkholder.
Tucker took the time to produce the question. Great job, Tucker. Go ahead.
No, Griffin Burkholder, I just think is going to be top five, top five prospect at the end of the year, and not in the sport, in the Phillies.
That's still something.
And then
what is he right now?
He's like, well, see, pipeline is wrong, but I think he's like sixth. I think he's.
That's not really that bold.
No, but on the public,
I think he's going to move up one spot
in the public rankings.
Think everyone will have him.
Yes, I think.
Okay. So where is he generally publicly? Like 10,
9,
12?
10. Okay. Yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to get a feel for what kind of predict. Like, is it like, wow, he's going to move up a spot? Not that impressive. Move up from 10 to 5. That's better.
Yeah. Thank
okay,
you.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
All right.
All right. Next question. Are you done or no?
Yes.
Okay. Next question. I love this question.
I hate it.
I know you do. That's why I love it. Jack's two favorite athletes in the city pitted against each other. Question number two. This is from Mason Cobb. Thank you, Mason. Does Jalen Hurts winning the Super Bowl put more pressure on Bryce to get it done? And how do you think Bryce will handle this pressure? I mean,
you can go first.
I can go first here because I know you're really itching to answer it. Of course it does. Like, I don't think there's any question that I don't think it's a Jalen thing. Mm-mm. Like, it's if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, it absolutely puts pressure on the Phillies to win the World Series. Like, mm-hmm. it is what it is. Like, mm-hmm. there's no other way to look at it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. So I hope that the Eagles win the Super Bowl so that means Bregman's a Philly on February 16th.
Oh, I love this. I love where your head's at right here.
But I don't think it's a Bryce Jalen thing. I think Bryce is actually competing with Saquon. I think Saquon, if they win the Super Bowl, is the face of the city.
Well, I think Saquon, if they win the Super Bowl, it's the best Philadelphia season of my lifetime.
And then,
I think Mike Schmidt in 1980 right now is probably the best season of Philadelphia athletes ever had, winning the World Series MVP and the World Series MVP and the NLCS MVP. Like, that's about as good as it gets. Moses in 83 is mm-hmm. probably up there with the greatest seasons we've ever seen. I was alive. I mean, I was alive technically for Moses. I don't know those seasons.
Well, and then you have the Wilt, whatever. You want to go back to Wilt.
Right.
But
you want to go back. But I think you have to win the championship to be in this discussion. I think if they win the championship, Saquon's season is the best Philadelphia sports season I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, in my lifetime, it's 04 TO, it's 06 Howard, it's 10 Halliday.
Totally.
It's this season of Saquon, it's 17 Carson.
Well, I think it's 17. So if you could combine Carson and Foles, that's the answer.
Yeah, but
you can't. I agree. But the quarterback position that year is the best we've ever seen. But yeah, I mean, Saquon, so I get your point, but I don't even think it's an individual player thing. I think it's just the Eagles winning puts sure. pressure on the Phillies to win, and pressure on the Phillies to win is pressure on Bryce.
But if Saquon is, let's say, wins the Super Bowl, is the Super Bowl MVP, I think he wants to, like...
Oh, I agree. There's a different question. Yeah. I agree with you. I think he supplants Bryce Harper as the top athlete in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and even free agent signing, if you want to go that far.
All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Battle him at the bank a couple Uh-oh. Years ago. It's time to. He only has the third highest.
Oh, good. The question of how do I think Bryce handles the pressure? I think he handles it great. Bryce is great with pressure. Like, pressure's not the issue for this guy.
He is TikToking.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
We talked about it last podcast. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's fine. Okay. I think he's trying to be relatable.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah. That's what we need, influencer Bryce.
Yeah.
He should be out practicing hitting baseball.
I'm sure he's doing fine.
Okay. All right. Next question. Finally, this is good.
Knowing
how many prospect questions we still have to come,
I'm gonna glaze over on this one.
I'm gonna cook for a minute here. Hi, Jack and James. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to another great season with you guys. I have a question that Jack is sure to love. James, what have you been reading lately? Have you read Wind and Truth yet? I finished Oathbringer a couple months ago, but needed a break after binging so many of his books. So I'll get to it eventually. I understand if this is too nerdy, and I'm sure if it's Jack reading it, it won't.
You sure you've ever read before? I mean, holy cow!
Either way, looking forward to the pod. Best, Connor McCauley. First of all, Connor, you rock. Thank you for asking this question. I have read Wind and Truth. Wind and Truth, Jack. Would you like to guess how many pages Wind and Truth is?
Sounds like a good 950.
1330.
Oh,
yeah. God. I've read. So Wind and Truth is the fifth book of a planned 10-book fantasy series called The Stormlight Archive by Brandon Sanderson. I'm through the first five. Apparently, he's taking like 6 years off between five and six. There's going to be a time jump and stuff. It's like, bro.
1,300 pages. Yeah.
So I basically read about 6,000 of this guy's pages in the last year and a half because I didn't know about it until the fourth book was done. So, yeah. It's awesome. Wind and Truth is freaking awesome. It's so good. It lives up to it. It is a phenomenal book. All 1,330 were great.
What's the longest book you've ever read?
That one.
Okay.
1330, I think, is. Now, I don't know what the longest game. I read all the Game of Thrones books. One of those might be longer. I don't know. But I think 1330 is the most. It's a lot of pages. I've read a lot of, like.
Isn't Pride and Prejudice like a.
I don't know. I haven't read Pride and Prejudice. Pride and Prejudice is not that long. Pride and Prejudice is like 350 or 450.
I might be thinking of a different book.
You're thinking of War and Peace.
War and Peace.
War and Peace is like 2,000 pages. I've never read War and Peace.
Well, why don't you
I'm not planning on reading War and Peace anytime soon. I read for entertainment far more than for
well, you could be sleeping.
The greats of all time. I could be. All right, so I got more. He's asking me what I read. Let me get to this because I got some stuff for you, buddy. So I actually just read a great book. It's called An Absolutely Remarkable Thing. Great book, Hank Green. It's actually two books, a beautifully foolish endeavor is the second one. Really unique, kind of like sci-fi-ish, but not really. It's got a lot going on. It's about internet fame. There's a lot going on. Those books were fantastic, those two books. So I highly recommend that. That's what I just read. I actually made a list.
You checking it twice?
And checking it twice. So, oh, here we go. Okay. So I also, I've mentioned this before, but Patrick, so this is kind of tough because this guy, it's a trilogy and he wrote two of them and it's been 13 years since the second book was written. I don't think he's ever going to finish them, but the first two are the best books I've ever read. So shout out to Patrick Rothfuss and the Kingkiller trilogy.
Okay.
There's only two of them. But they're great.
But it can't be a trilogy then.
Well, it's supposed to be. He just hasn't written it, like finished it.
But it can't be. He has to finish it for it to be a trilogy.
I don't disagree. Right now, you're right.
God, this must be how you feel during draft talk.
Yeah, it is exactly how I feel during draft talk. I can't find my list, so I'll just go off the top of my head. This is shame.
Well, if only you didn't have all morning to find the list.
I made a whole list. I did it for Go Birds. I had a whole final thought list.
Oh, I thought you did it today and you can't.
No, I had it in front. Oh, here we go. Okay.
Never.
Oh, know. Oathbringer, you mentioned.
Just kidding.
So, if you've not read the Pierce Brown books, starting with Red Rising, Oathbringer is the last one of those. Phenomenal. That's my favorite sci-fi series of all time, bar none. It is so entertaining. It's like a space opera with it's basically like war in space. So cool. Phenomenal stuff.
Star Wars exists.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of that way. It's not
except
exactly
it's the opera version.
No, it's like a space opera. I was just saying. You know what I mean. All right. A couple other ones I read recently. I'll just go with stuff I've read recently. It was really good. Then She Was Gone by Lisa Jewell. If you like mystery thriller type stuff, very sad, but very good. Sea of Tranquility is a book by Emily St. John Mandel. Beautiful book, has to do with time travel and all kinds of stuff. Really, really great book. If you read Station 11 or saw the TV show, she wrote that. The Patient's Secret by Loretta Ann White was a really good mystery. They're based on a real murder that happened in Canada.
There's no way people read this many books.
Phenomenal.
You have to be a one of one. There's no way. There's just
Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir is really good. Did you see The Martian, Matt Damon?
So when my book comes out, you're going to buy it, right? Like, I don't want to give it to you.
I will read your book.
Yeah, yes, but can you Venmo me?
Okay. I will Venmo
you. We got to turn a profit here.
And if you're into like mysteries and all kind of stuff, Michael Connelly, Harlan Coben, they're really good stuff. Robert Craze is good, just his authors.
James Patterson is still a writer?
He is. Actually, he's been on my list. I've never read Along Came a Spider. I've been meaning to for a while.
Unreal.
It seems like he's still doing his thing. Anyway.
All right.
Books are great. Read books. Read. It's awesome. An absolutely remarkable thing. Really good. Highly recommend that one. So anyway, that's what I've been reading lately. When in Truth, It's Worth the Time. The 1330. It's a lot of pages. I know that, but it's totally worth the time. Okay.
Cool.
And now we're done with my portion of the AMA. Let's get
back. No, I just have music stuff for you later.
Thank God.
Yeah.
All right. Jack and James. This is from Andrew Freilinger.
Uh-huh.
I want to know your thoughts on Koyo
Ayogi?
Ayogi? Is that it?
I don't know. We'll get to know him all throughout the season.
No idea who he is.
He's
the Japanese player that they got.
Totally disrespectful.
Do you think he has a shot at making the big league club as the next diamond in the rough? As a follow-up, do you think there's a good jumping off point for the Phillies and the Japanese?
You first off on the second part, hopefully. You know, hopefully.
Yeah,
but
I doubt it. It sounds like, you know, I think you might
at least they're trying.
High profile.
They're trying.
I mean, look, they're all going to sign with the Dodgers anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It's not. there's thankfully a Dodgers question here, but.
Like, what? It's bad for this. We've talked. I think it's so bad for the sport. The worst thing happening in baseball right now is the Dodgers.
Yeah. Okay. So, I think this guy's really interesting. He's been around in over there for a long time. So it's not like he's a younger pitcher coming over, but he gives a different look. And he's like he's a bit of a sidewinder kind of guy. Not totally Chad Bradford, but he's, you know, vertical to the ground. But the stuff doesn't play totally, but I think he's in the mix for that extra kind of bullpen spot. There's a lot of interesting bullpen names that we'll obviously get to at the end.
Oh, but who's the next Jeff Hoffman?
Let's go. So many guys that I'm ready to have my heart broken over. But I think he's more in that mix. We'll see. I think he gives a bit of a funky look. they need guys that can give funky looks. They're not all kind of the same pitcher that throws, you know. That's why Strom's been so good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very excited for him, but we'll see. The stuff's just not top tier.
Yeah, it's not Sasaki is the point, right?
No, Sasaki's a top five pitcher on the planet.
All right, we'll get to that. It's coming. It's coming. All right. I think this will be the easiest question of all the questions. I haven't read every single one, but I think this is about as easy a question as we could ever possibly hope to answer on one of these. Zach Gibbons asks, how much more would Harper have to do over the next 10 years to be a Lock Hall of Famer? Nothing. He is a Lock Hall of Famer today. I am...
probably not.
I think he's in the Hall of Fame today.
He has 330 home runs.
He's got two MVPs. He's been one of the best players in the sport for a decade. Like, I think Bryce Harper probably gets it. I don't think he's a first ballot.
Okay, how about this? How about that? What does he have to do? What does he have to be first ballot? Because even Ichiro didn't go unanimous, which is hilarious.
No one's going unanimous. I mean, Moe's the only one ever. Mariano Rivera's the only one.
What does he have to do to be a unanimous Hall of Famer?
He needs to win two more MVPs.
I think he has to get to 500.
Sure.
Home runs.
500
home runs, two MVPs in a World Series.
I think 500 home runs, three MVPs in a World Series. Even then, like, there are guys who have, Mike Schmidt had that, not unanimous.
Yeah, different voting.
I know, it's changing, but even still, the fact that we've only have one.
Well, first off,
Ichiro's not, like, I don't, like.
If he gets 500 home runs, all right, forget unanimous.
Voting
forget
has unanimous. To change,
just first ballot, 500 home runs.
Oh, without a doubt. I think he's a first ballot with 450, two MVPs and a World Series, maybe. Like, he's been so great. He's been such a great player.
Do you think he's going to have to work for 500, or does it happen pretty naturally? Like, is it going to have to be he's playing at his age 39, 40?
No, I know what you mean. I think it'll be more like 37.
I think 37. He's got to have one of the, we need a healthy.
He needs to not get hurt, man. He needs to not play, even if it's a month or 3 weeks or whatever. He needs a 160 or something, 159. Like, he needs one of those seasons.
You know, it's a shame. I was thinking about, I think off that question yesterday, or it was doing last night. We were talking
about. You think if he retired today, he wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame? Because I think he would.
I think it would take a.
Oh, I agree. I think it'd take him like 6-7 years, but I think he'd get it.
Probably. Yeah. Given
next. Chase Utley's going to get him. Bryce Harper's already had a better career than Chase Utley.
If.
Undoubtedly. And I think Chase Utley will get it.
If next year's class is any indication, I'm pretty confident that Bryce Harper will be a Hall of Famer.
I mean, Cole Hamels is like one of the top people in his class, and I love Cole. He's nowhere close.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but no, I was thinking about how we both agreed that the point before he pulled his hamstring was the best we'd seen him.
Yeah.
And that was last year, so we need like that kind of stretch.
I totally agree.
Give me like a nice like 42 home run season, that's 40 home run
like,
season.
Have another like epic season.
Oh.
He can.
He can.
I mean, I think he would have last year being it. Like, I
know.
Yeah.
Okay. I know.
All right. Question number six. We are back. What's the highest prospect you would give up in a package to get rid of Taiwan's contract? Name the player, pure salary dump plus a prospect. What would it take? That is from Steve at BatFlip17 on Twitter. Shout out to Steve.
Yeah. So
it just took me a second, by the way, to realize that the writing in here is not him. It's you.
No, he wrote the tweet.
I know the I got it. I'm good.
But me at the end.
Parentheses. Yes. Yeah, I get it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's my personal note.
No, I didn't realize. It took me a second. I almost read it out loud. I was like, he says this. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah. So my fear is that they're debating whether or not to put Griffin Burkholder in one of these trades to get off Taiwan Walker. Because the reality is you have to get off Taiwan Walker if you want to sign anyone. I think there's still a path to getting Bregman here. So my worry is that Burkholder has a lot of interest around the league and that he's a second round pick last year. He would have gone higher if the medicals were checked out. So my fear is Burkholder. I would be reluctant, but I get it. You're in a World Series window. I would give up Saltaban, who has intriguing underlying numbers, but the counting stats might not be there. And then Rincones Jr., the left fielder. They need outfield depth, and I think he could be a good player. But again, World Series window. My fear is Burkholder, but I would give up those two.
Do you expect them to find a taker? Like, if you had to bet right now, is Taiwan at, you know, spring training? You know, like, do you think Taiwan's going to get traded?
I've accepted that Taiwan's going to be a Philly for the rest of my life.
Yeah, well, I mean, you did name your son after
him. Yeah, right? I did. So, yeah, I don't know. There's like one final closing move that I wonder if they can pull off, and it's a Boehm trade contingent on Walker, contingent on getting Bregman.
Speaking of Walker, easily my favorite question asked today.
Yeah.
Because it puts you to the screws.
Yeah.
And you have to answer. Here is the question. Question number 7 is from Luke Beck. Great job, Luke. Luke Beck 4 on Twitter. Luke says, who starts game 1 of the 2047 World Series? Walker, Sutton, Fritz, yep. Let's go!
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. And
you're pitting your children against each other.
I'd like this to be scrubbed if one or the other makes the big leagues.
Yes, yes. You obviously...
When. So I'm putting my money on Sutton.
Wow.
I'm putting my money on Sutton.
Wow. Yeah. You actually did pick. I didn't know. This is great. Good job by you.
Well...
Way to answer the question.
There's early signs for me from Sutton. And again, any little movement they make now.
Walker's been a bit of a disappointment. So
never.
From that perspective.
Never. But Walker, I think, is going to be... I think he's going to be an engineer.
He's a smart one.
I think he's smart.
Okay.
Sutton.
So he's Jill's son. Sutton's your son.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Except Walker looks like me and Sutton looks like Jill.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. But Sutton has very long hands. Ooh. And very long feet.
That's huge.
And was like... They said he was way too quick with getting the hearing test right in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, there's a sign. Mm-hmm. He already had some hair on his lower back.
Oh.
I was like, well, he might have a man child. You know what I mean? So I look Sutton in the eyes every day and said, you're going to be a stud.
This is great.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah.
I mean, Walker, you know, you'll be smart.
Walker, I think we'll see with Walk. We'll see. But again, it's early, but if I had to bet, I'm going.
I'm really proud of you for answering this question. I really appreciate it. I hope the listeners appreciate that. That was.
You know what I need? I need the camera to pan to me. I'm so jealous of the. No, not now. I'm so jealous of the.
It's really funny.
Of the. You know when the kid on the field's going off and they pan to the. I want to be the nervous dad.
I know.
Watching my kid in some big game. That's again my goal in life at this point is to become Ed Kelsey.
That's it.
Except not, you know, they're not divorced. But
yeah, I get it.
Like Ed,
this guy.
I had to put that out there.
You really did.
Yeah. Okay. Ed Kelsey has 2 Hall of Fame sons. You kidding me?
Yeah.
That's
pretty cool.
Talk about a goal.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. Funny because it seems like Ed's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's like,
this is great.
He's just doing his, like, you know, his job out in freaking Kensington or whatever the hell he is. Just,
it's
like living his life.
That's going to be me. Ed.
He's like 6'7" or 6'8" or something. Like
Ed Kelsey's that tall?
Yeah. Jason said on the show, he's like 6'9". Like, he's huge.
He doesn't look that tall.
I wouldn't have thought it. That's what Jason said on the show. Anyway, let's keep it rolling. Good question here. A real baseball question here, Jack, from Northern Will 4 on Twitter. Will asks, should baseball have a cap and a floor?
So, no, I don't. I don't. I would be way more interested in a floor.
I'm all for a floor.
But I know a floor comes with a cap.
Yeah, that's the issue.
So I think it's almost
against they kind of have a cap. Like, they kind of do.
Kind of. It's at this point, I think baseball is just going to try to wait out the Dodgers and wait for them to sell and find the next ownership group. Because that's all the trust fund's doing is just they're going to sell it. And then the next ownership group's going to have to pay the Ohtani contract and all this deferred money.
Yeah, we'll see.
The biggest thing they have to figure out is like the deferred money should count on electric.
Of course it should. It's cheating. It's cheating. It's a cheat code.
Like 40. So Ohtani, $70 million is his contract.
It's outrageous.
$45 million.
It is skirting the rules.
Yes, of course it is. Of course, knock yourself out, Dodgers. But I really hope they lose. It's so annoying.
We have a real enemy. It's like the Astros right after the cheating thing. It's like the first time since
probably more Yankees, right?
No, I'm just saying it's the first time since that. Yes, it is a lot like the old school Yankees. I'm saying it's the first time since the Astros cheating thing happened where it feels like we have a villain in baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are the villain. Although, they got a lot of players I like.
I know. I mean, it's Shohei alone. Like, how could you not like that guy? He's awesome. Like,
Mookie. Freddie Freeman.
Whole thing. I know. All right. Enough.
All their pitchers.
God, I hate him.
I don't know. I kind of like
ruining my sport.
I want them to lose, but I like
ruining them. My
sport. I like so many of their players.
I don't like it. All right, let's keep it rolling here. By the way, again, to your point, you're right. You need one with the other, but like, I wish there were a floor. Like,
I wish there was a floor too.
Few things that make me angrier than these owners spending, you know, 1/20th of what other guys are spending and then just collecting their revenue sharing money and be like, oh, good. It's outrageous. All right, let's keep it rolling. Good question here. I like this one a lot. My fiance and I are broke coming out. I don't like they're broke. It's just the question itself. My fiance and I are broke coming out of college, but can't wait to get married in August. where should we go for our honeymoon, Patrick, for PA? I think that's a fun question to try and come up with a honeymoon that doesn't cost too much. Jeff, this is like your wheelhouse right here. You're going to say,
why? Because I'm also a broke.
No, because you love to like do things in nature that don't cost money. You're like the king of let's go hiking. Let's
yeah. So I would say
that's what I'm saying.
I would say go to like the Lake Placid area and, you know, spend a weekend up there and, you know, go hiking and go to breweries and fish or whatever. I would go north, but
I would go north.
I would go north. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's as long as you're together.
Well, honestly, that's true. As long as you're together, if you guys enjoy each other's company, there are a million fun things you could do. Like, you could go to some baseball games. Yeah, if she likes that, I don't know.
You can watch Nola Scherzer.
Yeah, you can watch Costa Rica. I mean, you can, yeah, probably here. But I think Jack's got the right idea. I think go find like a cabin or like something, you know, on a lake or something. They're not that expensive. You can afford to do so, or find something that you can do where you got some outdoor activities where you can spend time together, hang out.
I would go on a road. I would make it a road trip rather than a plane. A road trip. Road trips with your like freshly, you know, dating or married, I think are a lot of fun.
Go on fish tour.
Little different with kids.
Go on tour. Pick a band. Follow them around for a few shows. You know,
it took us.
Can sell some stuff in the parking lot, make money that way. I've been there.
Nice.
You can do it.
Nice. It took us. Lake Placid is 6 hours from our house. It took us like 10. The one we went with Walker. Yeah. Yeah.
Horrible.
So I would go on a road trip.
I think it's a good idea. I think you could go across.
Go to Bar Harbor. Go to Maine.
I've heard that's really nice. Elliot won't stop talking about it.
Well, it's funny because Elliot, I feel like, is just turning into an evolved human being.
He's trying.
Like, he didn't start.
He's evolving.
Yeah. Like, it's taken. Like, again, I don't think he started watching sports before 2016. So, because he has absolutely no reference for anything that happened before 2016.
Yeah, that's true.
So. Like, I think now he's starting to realize a lot of things that many people realized in their early to mid 20s.
I could see that. I think that's a...
He's almost 40.
Pretty good take. All right. Let's keep it all. I don't really understand this question. I'm hoping you do. It's from Phil's kid, Uno.
Yes.
Jack, I heard you once putt with your hand.
Yes. Talking about golf.
I got that. Doesn't everyone use their hands to putt?
No. So here's the
story. What does he mean? I'm figuring, you know, because when it's phrased,
that's why
I
put it on there.
Everyone.
That's why I put it on.
If you don't putt with your hands, you're not.
No. Here's the story. Okay. So this is my. I'll get there.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I was on the high school golf team, and golf is very intense. Not like physically,
okay, sure,
but I, yeah, you know,
super intense sport. It's up. Oh, let's walk to the ball, hit it. Okay. Let's move on.
But it's a game that messes with your mind.
That's true, without a doubt.
So I used to get really mad about golf.
Not surprising.
Not surprising. Now that I don't play as much, it's much more fun. But during high school golf, it was,
took it too serious.
I was a little too serious about it. So on one hole, on the back, I wasn't playing well, and I missed the putt from about this far away, which is there's nothing worse in the entire world,
mm-hmm,
because you feel like an idiot. So I picked the ball up, which you're not allowed to do, threw it in the hole, then got disqualified.
Oh,
so
okay,
so
that's the putt. You just put it.
I put it in the hole with my hand.
Okay,
yeah, which. Is not allowed.
Yeah.
Which is not allowed.
Not allowed, yeah.
So I got benched for a match after that. And here I stand talking about
you're
it.
You're not golf. I know you're very good at golf.
Used to be.
Mentality wise, like, I think you're
a little high motion.
Yeah. You're too intense. You're too intense. Like, golf is supposed to be pretty relaxed. You're way too intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Which is funny,
the same way on the mound.
You're not intense when you're not playing sports.
Uh-uh.
But then you got that dog in you.
I know. I really don't like losing.
Nick Sirianni, dog mentality.
Yeah, man. Me and Nick. So that's the putt with my hand situation.
Good stuff. All right. Great question here. Liam Fish, 28 on Twitter. Thank you for asking it. James, in general, I need more music takes from you. Are you in on the band King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard?
Ugh.
If not, you should be. Album Laminated Denim is just 2 15-minute jams, which is a great place to start. Also, worst collapse this past season, Lions or Phillies? Lions, I think, right?
Probably.
Yeah. So I am not into King Gizzard. I know some people who are. I need to to get to it. I need to give it a shot. I've heard there's super fun live. There's crowd surfing. There's all kinds of shows.
It seems like the big jam bands now is Goose.
Goose. So that's where I was going to go. Love Goose. Goose. I only saw Goose once. I had a freaking blast seeing Goose. Those guys jam. The guy has way too good a voice for a jam band. Like, normally you don't see jam band singers who are like unbelievable singers. This guy's amazing. I thought, look at you knowing Goose. Where did that come from?
I saw something on Twitter about
it. Okay. Yeah, Goose is awesome. I really enjoyed Goose when I saw them. When I saw them, they brought out the guy from Blind Melon. They played No Rain with them, which was pretty cool. They brought out someone from, what's the band that everyone loves here? Mount Joy, right?
Oh, Mount Joy.
Yeah, they brought out Quinn from Mount Joy. I guess that's one of the guys.
Awesome.
So they played with him. They played a Mount Joy song. Goose was really cool when I saw him. So highly recommend Goose. Obviously, you know, I love Fish. I've seen them a bunch of times. They're awesome. Music takes, though. Like, Liam, I will start bringing some music takes to this podcast. Jack likes music, too.
Oh, yeah.
I need to see A Complete Unknown. I haven't seen that yet. You're a big Dylan guy. Have you seen the movie yet?
I heard he sings too much in it.
I heard he's great.
Yeah, but I heard it's just trying to prove he can sing.
I heard it's a lot of music for a movie. It's like it's basically a song.
Just to prove you.
A movie of song.
You learned Bob Dylan.
Well, I don't know. He's supposed to be amazing in it. He might win Best
Actor. Well, it was all filmed in Cape May.
Was it really?
Well, a good portion of it was filmed in Cape May.
So Spielberg is going to be filming in Cape May this summer. How about
Cape May? Cape May heating up?
We're getting hot.
Wow.
Getting hot.
Wow. Yeah, no, I went through my Dylan phase.
You're over it?
Nah, he's fine.
Wow.
No, I like Bob Dylan.
Yes,
it's just,
you do.
I don't know.
R.I.P. Garth Hudson, you a band guy? Last member of the band?
Oh, really?
Yesterday? Yeah, shout out to Garth Hudson.
Oh, I like the band.
I think the band is freaking awesome.
Atlantic City's, their version of Atlantic City
is better than Bruce.
Way better than
Bruce. It's not even close.
It's not even in the same stratosphere.
Yeah. Stage Fright, a great song by the band.
No, well, The Weight's just a number.
That's why I didn't mention The Weight. Everyone knows what I'm saying. Stage Fright.
But like The Weight is one of the most.
It's one of the best songs ever by anybody. It is one of the, if I had to make a 10 best songs ever list, like probably 30 songs long, The Weight would be on there, without a doubt.
The Weight and Can't You See? I think Can't You See by Marshall Tucker Band is like a perfect song. And then there's one by Bob Seger that's not sticking out right now.
Night Moves.
Nah, it's the other Bob Seger one. I don't know.
Old Time Rock and Roll?
No, would never.
Against the Wind?
Against the Wind.
Look at that.
Against
I love
the
Bob
Wind.
Seger.
Bob Seger's great.
Dude, Bob Seger seems like one of the, like, he just seems cool. Like, Bob Seger, that dude seemed cool. I know nothing about him as a person, if he's a, you know.
Yeah.
But just from his music, like, I'm like, Bob Seger sounds like a cool guy.
Against the Wind, Can't You See?
Those are your three favorite songs.
And The Weight. I think there's three, like, perfect songs.
Okay. So just popping in my head, what's a perfect song? I think Son of a Preacher Man is a perfect song.
Okay.
That's a great song. I agree with you on The Weight. I think The Weight is a perfect song. Anyway.
All right.
There's some others.
Yeah. It's good.
I just heard Son of a Preacher Man. That's why I pop right in my head.
I'm Son of a Preacher Man.
Yeah. Great song. A little Dusty Springfield. Good stuff. You ever hear Spooky by Dusty Springfield? That's a great song.
No.
In the cool of the evening when everything is getting kind of spooky. Never heard that?
Nah.
Great song.
All right.
All right.
Anyway, take your word for it.
I heard Fish play it once.
Of course.
All right. Let's roll on. I will get more music takes on this pod, Liam, for you and for Jack to educate.
Sure.
To educate.
I'll take your music takes over any more book talk.
Okay. That's fair. At least you listen to music, I suppose. Here's my number one music take is listen to music. It's really awesome and it makes people happy.
It's a big take.
You know what is, we forget, and like obviously listen to this first, but I think, you know, you can get bogged down with life and forget to listen to music. Music is great. All right, let's keep it rolling. This one is from Shane Ainsco. A nice yours truly at the end of this one.
Yes.
All right. With Hall of Fame voting wrapped up, I should say, in this case, there are a few implications for some of the former Phillies as of today. Utley is currently at about, this question was written when they were tracking them. Utley ended up at 39%, I believe. Mm-hmm. In this case, he wrote 54. 55 is what he was tracking. So essentially, he says, I'm fairly confident it will be in with an outside shot at next season. He didn't get that high. I think it's going to take a few more years. We'll get to that in a sec.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to know, Felix Hernandez, along with Cole Hamels on the ballot last year, how would you compare those two? And what could voting for someone like King Felix make for the future of Cole Hamels look like? Also, he's saying the A's to win the AOS at plus 2,200.
I like it.
I will say, any team that won a division at plus 2,200, like, it's baseball. Like,
well,
I wouldn't
bad.
Expect it. Yeah, I think
they were frisky last year.
Brent Rooker?
Yeah.
They made sign their highest paid guy in forever with Luis Severino. Like, that's the guy to give $67 million to, sure.
Well, because, like, what? The Rangers, people want them to bounce back. Seattle, we'll see.
Astros.
And then the Astros. Yeah. But the Astros, if they lose Bregman, what are they going to be? So, I can't tell if this is one of those things where you're too close to the situation to not realize it, but Cole doesn't even feel like he's close to being a Hall of Famer. I don't even think he's
close to it. And I guess numbers-wise, he probably parallels with Felix, or else this question
would be. But King Felix was just better. King
Felix was the best pitcher in baseball at a certain point. Like, Cole was never that. Like, Cole, for a month in October in 2008, he was. But, yeah, I love Cole. Look, I don't think Felix is going to get in right away either. I don't even know if he'll get in, period. Maybe he gets in over the course of the ballot. He's the kind of guy I could see, you like someone like, you know, people get behind people. Like, we know Ryan Spader helped Edgar Martinez get in. Like, these people kind of campaign and all that stuff. I could see Felix having support because of the type of career he had and the type of pitcher he was and the analytics stuff and all that.
Eventually, peaks are going to matter more than career.
Chase is getting it. Like, I think Chase at 39, 2 years in the ballot, like, I would guess 4 or 5 years from now, but I think Chase Utley will be in the Hall.
Because what, Roland got in last ballot in his last year.
Yeah, and it took him forever to get there, and he started as low as Utley was. I mean, Andrew Jones started at 7% his first year on the ballot, and he'll get in next year, most likely, if not the year after, for sure. He was at 66% this year. Andrew Jones got 7% his first year on the ballot. Like, you can climb. Like, Utley got, what, like 28, and then he's up to 39 or whatever. Like, Utley will get there. It's just a question.
I need the live high hopes when Utley gets there.
That's maybe the last time I'll ever Cooperstown until Harper or whatever. Like, it'll be a while, but we're going Utley. We went for Roy. We got to go for Utley.
Yeah. Utley, I might do grown man tears when Utley goes in. But yeah, he's like King Felix to me is just in a different stratosphere than Cole.
I agree.
And Cole, really, really good pitcher for a long time, but no.
All right. Yeah, it's just his way. All right. Next question from Ed McLaughlin, not Ed Kelsey, I think. Hey, Jack, and the guy he does the podcast with.
Love it.
Done. Nice. It actually started with a yo, it is. So, Ed, you are crushing it right now. I am the guy that Jack does the podcast with. Just check out all those articles. First time, long time. He's got them all in here. Ed, this is a great email you put together. Haven't missed a single episode since you guys started. By far, you're my favorite Phillies pod.
Back when Mark was on it?
I don't know about this. Is this for real, Ed? Because if so, like...
Shout out to Ed.
Yeah, for real shout out to Ed, because... A, that's a long time. B, we sucked when we started the pod. So thanks for sticking with us.
Yep.
It's a much better pod now than it was then. All right. Here's this question. With Jeff Hoppin signing with the Blue Jays, which pitcher signed to a minor league contract do you think has... This is such a Jack question. Ed, you're leaning right into it.
Yep.
Honest, I'm sure you know. Which pitcher do you think... which minor league contract do you think has the potential to follow in his footsteps? Obviously, I don't expect Hoffman development to be repeated, but the Phillies pitching development has become legit and getting the best out of guys. My initial thought is Nabil Crismat or Nick Vespi. At least Vespi sounds familiar. But I haven't done the numbers. I haven't dove into the numbers. Jack and James, keep up the good work. Go Phils. I will lay out here and just say thank you, Ed. You rule.
Yeah. So I think the best case you're looking for here is the next Jose Ruiz. Finding another Hoffman feels like a crapshoot.
Sure.
I don't think they're going to find the next Hoffman. But I think there's
a guy who's going to be an all-star.
Yeah. I think there's a good chance they could find the next Jose Ruiz. Chris.
He's a find, by the way. Like, Jose Ruiz is a really
good.
Yeah, to get that guy out of nowhere. Like, he gave him valuable innings last.
Chris Matt's interesting. He has a really, really good changeup and was part of the Dodgers organization last year, Padres a couple years ago. And Vespi is another interesting guy from the standpoint of he's just so funky. Like, he's had really good minor league numbers for a long time. But and he's like only throws 89, but it's pretty funky. Now the stuff's not going to blow you away, but if they can tinker with his mechanics to make him even funkier, who knows? But there's something there. So I have guys that I'm ready to like be heartbroken over because they have stuff, and I just can't wait to watch them in spring training, and they're going to make me look like an idiot when they make the big league roster and then stink. We can go to Ramon Rosso. We can go to. Junior Marte. Yeah. We can go to all these guys that I've said throughout the years. They're going to be really good.
I've gotten really excited about some of these.
Yeah, too. Because Ramon Rosso was awesome.
He was like at least Junior. You could see it. You know, he had a couple moments where it was like, "Wow, look at that!" Like Rosso, like the moment he came to the majors, it was like, "What is this?"
Yeah, dude.
So, dude. You hyped him up to me, and I'm like, "This is the guy Jason talking about."
Well, he got shelled in the first
game. Crushed in the first game.
And I think that was our fault. Now it's my fault, but it's this podcast guilty by association.
I'm with you.
Joe Girardi in 2020 brought Ramon Rosso out the first game of the season in like a high leverage eighth inning, one run spot.
Girardi was listening to IOPS, and that's
well, I think
he
was just
it.
Like, there's a lot. He's probably sitting there like, why is all this?
Probably should have blamed Girardi.
Why so many people want Ramon Rosso in the game?
He was hearing the groundswell.
Yeah, the groundswell for Ramon Rosso. So
what a bullpen that was.
So Nicolas Padilla has an unbelievable curveball. I don't think he's related to Vicente Padilla, but unbelievable curveball and interesting stuff at AAA. So he's one that I can't wait for. John McMillan is, dude, I was trying to think of this guy. There was a guy they had in like 21 that threw 100 miles an hour, but he had like no idea where it was going. I can't place who it was. But John McMillan is that dude. Like, has all the stuff. There's a 0% chance he's good. But there's also if Tucker looks up the 21 Phillies,
right, Tucker did it immediately.
If it's like he pitched maybe four times. Anyway, Jose Cuas. I'm just telling you.
I've heard of him.
That's
a name that I recognize. How about that?
There will be a time on this podcast when I say to you, he could be an all-star. Or he needs to be on the everyday roster.
Yeah, or he's the next, you know, Brad Lidge or whatever.
His stuff is sick. Like, it is sick. He has no idea.
QS.
I think it's QS. He has no idea where it's going at all. But he's going to show flashes. He's going to be on Pitching Ninja. Like, him in spring training is going to be a sight. Devin Sweet, I'm very intrigued. And he's a horizontal fastball guy. He's only 92. Yeah. Well, he's got a sweet changeup. And he's only 92, 93. But if he can elevate it.
Sweets. That sounds like a Phillies fan group to me.
Alan Rangel's interesting. Chris Mavespi. And then Joel Cunell. He used to throw 100. He only throws 95 now.
That the name Joel has been ruined.
Yes, it's probably Joel. Joel.
Exactly. Yeah, it is Joel.
He's interesting.
Joel's not.
Yeah,
not a great.
He looks like
my dad's middle name was Joel, and he hated it.
Joel. Yeah, it's tough.
David Joel Seltzer. He hated it.
Man, what if his first name was Billy?
I know. Would have been amazing. Yeah, could have been amazing.
This guy reminds me of Todd Coffey.
Oh, is he gonna run out from the bullpen also? Jared Hughes, Todd Coffey style.
Dude, Todd Coffey running out and like throwing up on the
best thing I've ever seen.
It was so funny, dude.
Great thing that's ever happened.
So, but he's throw 100. He throws like 96 now, but he like may have found something with the Rays at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. So the Phillies plucked him. He was good a couple years ago and kind of fell off. But they have a bunch of interesting guys that could become the next Jose Ruiz.
Love it.
Get excited.
I like that.
I'm gonna try to find the guy.
Shout out to Ed. That was a great question. Tucker's been looking. You've got no luck, Tucker?
Is it Mauricio?
No, Olive, no. Oh, yeah. That was my guy.
Loeyman or whatever his name was?
It was something like, everyone makes my friends make fun of it. It was like Olivero, but that was not the guy.
And you're sure it was the 2021
Phillies? I'm not sure it was 21 Phillies.
Oh, well, that makes it a bit of a needle in the hay.
And it was not J.D. Hammer. We all remember. Remember David Hale?
Oh God!
I might have to go back. It might have been like 2019. I don't know. I'll let you know.
Hans Kraus?
No, he stunk. No, this guy had like legit stuff.
Adonis Medina?
No,
he was around. Remember Adonis Medina when he was going to be a star?
He was a top prospect.
He was. Yeah. Then
he became a Met.
Oh, it's Natale Feliz.
No, it's
not. I'm joking. Damon Jones, that's not the same guy, but you were in on
Well, I did like Damon Jones. Yeah. You're damn right about that. Oh, I remember David Phelps. He was going to be good here.
Remember Brandon Kinsler being here? This is a really...
Trevor Kelly?
It's a really tough thing to look these old bullpen.
See, the Trevor Kelly, the 20 bullpen.
Oh, it's the worst. Hembree and...
Oh, this is going to...
Diolis Guerra, remember that?
Well, he was sick
Reggie
the next
Reggie McClain.
I do remember Reggie McClain.
Existed.
Do you remember
Austin
the
Davis? Oh God.
Do you remember the Neftali Feliz moment or no?
He gave a big home run or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They brought him in while I was in Seattle. And he was like dominating AAA. Yeah. And people were like, he's gonna be good. He came up for 1 second. Yeah. And he won game. They brought him in late and he got smoked.
Well, Well, it's always good when you take someone who hasn't played in like 2.5 years and be like, oh, this is going to work.
Yeah, come on back. Oh, this is going to keep me up.
Well, should I?
I'll figure it out. Yeah, just go. Just keep going. Just keep going.
You actually will not want to pay attention to this answer anyway, so you do it while I do this.
Cool.
Shout out to Brian Weiler asking, what is my favorite fish show that I've ever attended and what makes me choose that show? Well, Brian, thank you for asking. Let me tell you. So I have a couple answers to this in a weird way. One, like, it's hard. So Big Cypress, it's hard to compare that to anything else because they played for the millennium and they played an 8-hour straight show. They came on before midnight and played until the sun came up. So it's like, how do you compare watching the band play for 8 straight hours compared to anything else? In addition to 6 other sets that weekend. Plus the coolest thing they did was the last set before the overnight sets. So they're coming back. I'm talking right to Tucker now. They're coming back right before midnight for the millennium. So it's 99 and 2000. They ended the day set. The last song they played before that, they ended it with Clapton After Midnight. Never played before, you know, After Midnight.
Great song.
It's the most energy I've ever felt in a crowd of any kind. Which every single person was like, holy crap, like, this is so cool. So that's there. But just an individual fish show that's not a festival or whatever, the best fish show I ever saw, without a doubt, was September 30th, 2000 in Vegas. They made a DVD of it, the Live in Vegas show. The reason it's the best show is because it's just the best freaking show. Like, it's insane. I heard like 8 or 9 songs I had never heard before, and I'd seen over 30 shows prior to that. Like, it was like they played freaking Emotional Rescue, like Rolling Stones, shout out the Stones. Like, it just, they announced their hiatus. Like, it was just such an unbelievable, and going back and listening, like, they're on fire, that show. Like, it's right in, like, the time where they were great. Like, 99, 2000 was, you know, kind of my wheelhouse for going to shows. They were locked in then. I think 97 through 2000 is, like, 94 and 97, probably the two best years of fish. But 99, 2000, they were still super duper locked in. I will say, they sound better now, today. The last shows I saw, Monterey and Delaware, they sound better now than they have at any time since the year 2000. I think Fish 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, none of it's been as good as they are today. They're awesome right now. So there we go.
Great.
Amazing.
Thank you. I could go on for way longer. I mean, I could start listing my favorite shows that I've been to. Anyway.
All right.
I won't do that.
No.
So there you go. Check it out. If you haven't heard it, 9:32, that was an amazing show. Are you done? Did you figure it out?
No.
So did you make someone up?
What do you mean?
Did you create something that doesn't exist?
No.
It's like, oh, it's a 21. No, I'm sure you've done 2020. You've done 2022. Like, are you sure this person exists?
Because he's not. It's someone other than Sam Coonrod. And it's not Coonrod.
No, he did come in and throw heat.
He had a moment.
Yeah, and he had heat. Like, Coonrod, that was his thing.
It's a little bit like Coonrod. I don't think it's not who I'm thinking of.
But Coonrod would fit the bill for what you're talking
Dude,
about.
Dude, I can see his face. All right, whatever. I'll figure it out.
Okay, next Coonrod would fit the bill. The guy threw hard, didn't know where he was going.
Yeah, right. But this guy's not as good as Coonrod was.
No.
And that's like Coonrod was good.
But Coonrod was on the roster. Yeah. I got you. All right, two more. This one is from Patrick in Tampa, Florida. Patrick, you had a bunch of baseball questions, but we're just going with the life one because pod's pretty long and we've talked a lot of baseball. All right. Life question. For $1 million prize, Jack, if you had to pick an animal to become and survive for 24 hours, what animal would you pick? Here's the catch. Every other animal in the animal kingdom is hunting you for those 24 hours. For example, if you become an orca for 24 hours, every creature in the ocean is now hunting you to prevent the $1 million prize. Jack, this is a great question. It's like, you're like, oh, I could be a lion, king of the jungle, but then all the lions and all the other animals are hunting you. So you're in trouble. Your answer, Jack.
It's a tough one. So my first thought, before all the qualifications, my qualifier to this qualifier is I would be one of the smart ones of this animal.
Smarts?
Yeah. Like, so I would probably take a squirrel, but a smart squirrel, like, not.
You think a squirrel's getting away from, like, every creature on the planet?
Dude, I think I've made the case that squirrels are the most athletic animal on planet Earth. They can climb, they can run, they can jump, they can go from tree to tree.
This is an insane answer.
Dude, they're awesome. If you just sit there and watch a squirrel,
yeah, squirrels are awesome, but like,
very impressive.
Yeah, what about a cheetah? Do you think that's impressive? I mean,
yeah,
it's because it's the only animals you see. You think, wow, what a squirrel! Like,
They can
a
do anything.
Squirrel will get eaten in a second.
Disagree.
Dude.
They can burrow. They can hide in a tree.
Yeah,
is a bear getting up a tree? Well, I guess they can climb trees.
But then all the other animals, there's birds, there's everything chasing it. That's the point. Like
there's flying squirrels.
There's one, but
not a dumb squirrel.
There actually is a correct answer to this question.
Okay.
It's a chameleon.
Because it can hide.
It's a camouflage. That's the whole point. When you have the entire animal kingdom coming after you, no matter what you are, like, I don't care if you're the most badass great white shark, all the fish in the sea are going to get you. Like, I don't care if you're the most badass lion, the most badass elephant, whatever. Like, if you've got the entire animal kingdom coming after you, the only way you can win this for 24 hours is to hide, is to be away from them. I thought, like, if a cheetah could run for 24 hours straight without getting tired, that'd be an interesting thought because you just run away from everyone, but it couldn't. The key is being able to hide for 24 hours. The correct answer is a chameleon. Or if there are other animals that I know, octopuses are supposed to be pretty good at camouflage. Like, camouflage is the correct answer to this question. Thank you very much.
I'm going squirrel.
Parker, who's right here?
Going squirrel.
I kind of lean towards you.
Yeah.
You want to be able to hide.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes. I have answered the question correctly. And Patrick, I want you to know that I answered it correctly. And thank you for asking. It's a great question.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Squirrel. Jack's dead in like...
I'm a big squirrel guy.
I know. It's a shame that you died for your love of squirrels.
Yep.
All right, last question. Shout out to our buddy Richie. Richie asked this question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here is this question. Did Jack and James know each other before WIP, or did your relationship start at the station? And how quickly did your love of baseball help accelerate the friendship / high hopes bond?
Oh, can I tell a story of how we met?
Please.
All right. So we used to work at a different station.
We did.
And I was a lowly intern.
I was a lowly producer.
You were a lowly producer. No, so the way I remember it is I was started as an intern, mm-hmm. but I followed South Shore on Twitter. I saw he did some baseball podcast. And this
with
was
another producer.
Yeah,
it was a Phillies pod. It was like, I hope that it doesn't exist anywhere. It was so bad.
So this is the summer of 2015. Right. So this was the right before the Hamels no-hitter. Mm-hmm. And I just remember saying to Seltzer, like, hey, you host that baseball podcast, right? And Seltzer's so blown away. I never listened to an episode.
Nor
would never do that. But yeah, so I just remember saying, hey, like, I know you did that. And then we started talking about baseball all the time. And lo and behold, now we have a podcast.
A friendship blossomed.
Oh, it's
so
beautiful.
What's funny is that the question, how quickly did your love of baseball help accelerate the friendship in the pod? It was the basis.
The first
it was like the whole reason we became friends was baseball.
Well, because no one cared about baseball.
No one cared about, like, so do you remember the name of the person I did the pod with?
Huh?
He's not even in the business. I think he delivers like mail or whatever. Great guy. Remember Joe Boyle?
No.
That was who I did the pod with. He was another producer at the other station. Joe Boyle.
He wasn't the guy that got hired over me, right?
No, he was hired before I was. He was the one who trained me and stuff like that. But shout out to Joe Boyle. Great dude. He'll text me every once in a while, like just like listening or whatever. But Joe is a good dude. But yeah. And then we just started talking. And then I left for the other station, aka WIP.
Yeah.
And as soon as I felt, and Jack and I just stayed friends and we texted about baseball and all that. And shout out to Jack. It was really, you know, we ended up becoming, you know, best friends and all that. But like, it was smart of Jack to, like, you know, try and stay in the game, whatever he could. And as soon as I felt like comfortable at WIP, as soon as I got the midday show and I felt like I had like Spike trusted me and all that, I went to Spike and I said, hey man, I got a guy for a part-time producer job. Like, you know, take it from there, but you know, give him a shot. And Spike met you and then you freaking kicked ass.
Unbelievable first impression guy.
How about that?
Light up a room, they say.
And then you just took over and did amazing. So.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty so neat. It's Seltzer's fault. If
it's,
anyone,
it's all my fault. I know.
Don't blame one person. It's Seltzer's fault.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then this podcast.
And then we're here. Now this is happening, and I couldn't be happier. And it's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Beautiful thing.
The AMA episode.
This is great. We got to do this every offseason. This has to be a thing. This is really fun. Thank you to everyone who sent in questions. Really means a lot, especially Ed. If you've been listening since day one, like if anyone else has been listening from day one, let us know, because that's pretty amazing, and we really appreciate it. Thank you to Tucker. Like, look at Tucker doing
putting
work
questions
today.
Up.
Yeah, like actually doing work today.
Always doing
them
work.
Up.
Always.
I know
work.
He does. I like to joke about it, but Tucker's awesome. All right, you got anything else?
No.
Me neither. That was a long one.
That was a long one.
Yeah. All right.
Tucker agrees. It was a long one.
I got 4% left of my battery.
Okay, we're out. We're done.
All right, we're
done. We'll be back next week, probably maybe the week after. We'll see how how super bowled up the sound is.
Oh, man. I think I'll be in New Orleans.
There you go. We'll work around it. We'll get there. And obviously, if anything happens, we'll be there. Until then, he's out, James. Oh!
Whoa! We had a friendship.
He's Fritz Zelter. I just did. You know what it is? Is that I've done like 40 Go Birds pods since we last did a pod. Yeah, that's a bad job. He's Fritz.